I'm about to die. I'm going to die, and the family that just adopted me are going to be responsible. Right now, I'm locked in a room waiting to be taken to surgery where my organs will be harvested and God knows what will happen to my body. I'm not supposed to even have a cell, but I have to get this message out. If not for my sake, for the health and safety of countless orphans that are out there and will be used for these people. They aren't my real family, and maybe I was never meant to have one anyway. But one thing for sure, the orphan lottery is a lie. If you had told me that exact phrase 4 days ago, I would have said you were crazy. I've been wanting to have my name called all my life. My name is Derek, and yes, I'm an orphan. I grew up in a residential center in South London alongside about a dozen other kids just like me. We all had different stories about how we got here, disasters or disease or something in between. For me, it was a fire. I lost my family when I was 7 and it burnt half of my body. When I was placed at the orphanage, they said I was lucky. "We have a special program here that helps children like you called the Orphan Lottery," the headmaster said. It was a horrible name, but as she explained it, the way it worked made sense. There are literally millions of families that want to adopt. Unfortunately, for the most part, everyone wants to have a newborn, an infant. They want a child that they can call theirs. Older orphans are usually swept under the rug. My predecessor felt this was unfair. Wouldn't you agree? Before I could even voice a response, they just kept rattling on about how great the program was. I have to admit, I was impressed, especially with the accolades they gave it. The lottery is designed to counteract a cruel world. Precisely once a month when a family comes to us for adoption purposes, we pull a name from random for the selection. These families are more well-to-do. They donate more to our programs and they understand that every child we take care of here deserves a fighting chance to get to live a normal life. I got to see how the lottery worked less than a week after coming to the orphanage. All of us were huddled into a small assembly room where we normally had breakfast and told to pick numbers. Then we sat and listened to an intercom broadcast of the local news and weather like normal before finally a number was called out. It was a young girl about 3 rows in front of me. She leapt up, waving the number excitedly from side to side. Then, 2 men in white coats entered the room and congratulated her before our normal duties resumed. It was a simple and clean process, but for someone like me, that was sure I was going to be trapped in the orphanage for life, it was profound. Winning the lottery was going to be my only way out of here. There were some skeptics, and I wish dearly I had listened to them before my name was called. A close friend of mine, Peter, wasn't sure about any of it. Some of us made jokes and called him Paranoid Pete. How I wish we had actually listened. It's odd that we don't get any testimonials from people that have been adopted, isn't it? They can come and tell us about how the families are taking care of them, how the lottery benefited them and stuff, he said. Peter had been there since he was 5. You're just mad your name has never been called, someone said. I hope it never gets called. Something about all of it is fishy. But I didn't want to doubt. I knew it could possibly be too good to be true, but I didn't want it to be. I had to wait 2 years before my name was finally called. It can be hard to just toss aside your hopes and dreams after that long. But when my number came up during the morning routine, I felt someone shove something into my back pocket as the 2 men entered to escort me to what I thought was freedom. I didn't get a chance to realize it was a cell phone until I was well away from the orphanage. The family that took me in seemed nice enough at first, not very chatty because even when I asked them what I should call them, neither the man or woman bothered to respond. They did quickly introduce me to their son though, a boy about my age named Andrew. Andrew was on oxygen and looked to be in severe pain every time he took a breath. He gave me a look that told me he was suffering. "Everything will be taken care of on Friday, dear," the woman said, kissing his forehead. No red flags went off yet, but the second night, after an awkward and quiet dinner, Andrew snuck into the guest room where they were keeping me. "You need to leave," he rasped. I sat up and ruffled my hair. Why would I do that? I've wanted this my whole life. "You want to die? Because that is what will happen to you if you stay here," he snapped. His voice was trembling and I asked if he was okay. "Don't you get it? My parents selected you to give me your lungs. They're going to hire a surgeon and kill you! I almost laughed at the insane notion, but Andrew was dead serious. You're just trying to scare me, I said. Then he pulled out his phone and showed me a video of a girl. I recognized her from the orphanage. She was already dead in the clip, her eyes removed, and another child was being given surgery for those exact optical implants. This is what the lottery's for. They don't want to give you a chance at family. They want to give other families a chance at life that has been taken. I wanted to think it was a lie, and I even got angry and shoved him. His parents came in, took him away, and locked me in my room. That was yesterday. I've been waiting ever since. The father came in one time to... I think he wanted to apologize for what was about to happen.
You must understand that the chances of adoption for an orphan dwindle away every single year. Families are content. We are taken care of and peaceful these days. We have no need for waste of oxygen in society, and I'm sure you agree that you don't want to be stuck at that dreadful place all your life.
I've been trying to think of what to say and how to make it clear to anyone else out there what is happening, but I'm not sure if anyone will believe me. I've used the internet and checked everywhere I can think of. No one has heard of the orphan lottery. It's been a huge lie that was only told to us. I can hear them coming now. Please, if you do believe me, save the others. Give them that hope that has been maliciously stolen.
I ordered a cheap radio cassette player so I could go through some old tapes I found in the attic. I wanted to confirm they were useless junk and throw them out. One of these tapes was unmarked and looked a lot like the others. I wish I hadn't listened to it. So naturally, I'm going to share what I heard with all of you. What are you doing? Nothing, just getting a drink. You want? Do I look thirsty? Calm down. I am here to help you. You called me because you knew I could. I didn't call you to help. I called you to listen. Hasn't been any of that so far. All right. I'm sitting. I'm listening. Yeah, where's your drink, though? It's waiting for me to be done. Listening. Jonah, now let's start with Maggie. It all started with her, anyway. Maggie, Derek, and I all grew up there. At an orphanage. Yeah, we were thick as thieves. Maybe don't put it that way in court. So you were close, okay? When did it start between you and Maggie? There was no beginning, really. Just an end. I always loved her, and she always loved me. Didn't need to talk about it. And Derek? Yeah, he was there too. In the middle of it all. Did you like the orphanage? It was a big house. Never used as anything else. He bought it for that purpose. Tiernan? Yeah, the fucker. Watch it, Jonah. Talking like that only hurts your case. Ask your questions, but keep your commentary to yourself. We're not in court. How were the kids treated? Old Miriam ran the place, made sure we felt like nasty little problems. Like it was our fault they needed to deal with us. Mostly the older kids took care of the younger ones, until it was their turn to leave. When did things go wrong with you and Maggie? I just turned left when I should have turned right, that's all. What? Tiernan, let's discuss him for a minute. He owned the orphanage. Never visited, but the kids told scary stories. There were lots of rumors about his reputation, how he made his money. That's it. How did the adults talk about him? They did, right? You'd hear things. You told me. They were afraid of him like everybody else. No potential parents ever arrived. Some of the kids had themselves convinced he wasn't really a man, but a supernatural force. Something that was collecting orphans for a less generous reason. Did you believe that at any point? No, would have been better than the real thing. So it had nothing to do with what you did? Nothing. How old were you when you burned down the orphanage? 16. Maggie and Derek, how did they react? They didn't understand why it had to be done. Can you tell me why? You woke all the kids and got them out. Maggie and Derek helped carry the little ones. You were careful. You had it planned. Yeah. Nobody died in that fire? Correct. Afterwards, those children were scattered across the state. The only home they knew stolen from them. Many of them never to see each other again. Did you know that would happen? Yes. Was that your goal? One of. You didn't find Maggie and Derek for another 13 years. 3 days ago. More than enough time for everything to go to hell. Did you regret losing them? I hated losing them. There was no regret. Then what made you reach out? A friend told me they'd gotten married. He'd seen it in the papers and Maggie was pregnant. Were they placed in the same location after the fire? No. Derek tracked her down later. He was very determined. When Derek got that way, you couldn't imagine stopping him. And he convinced her she loved him as much as she loved me. Maggie laughed about it. She thought I'd be happy they'd ended up together. Were you? I think, looking at me now, you might guess. It was my destruction, just not mine alone. But the first meeting went well? Sure. I was going to receive the title of uncle. There had been a few unsuccessful attempts, so they were both very proud of the pregnancy. Derek was conflicted. He wanted my congratulations, but he also wanted to beat me into a slime. You were seen later that day. Yeah, I bashed my head a few times on a public wall, which is discouraged, I think. You were devastated. No description exists. And that's why? Why? What? Why the second fire? Why kill an old man? You don't want to know, Roger. I can see you're not made for it. You'll keep it in some dusty place and let it eat you away. Maybe you should go home. You're my most decent friend. A man I trusted, a man I will have to trust going forward. I just want to know, damn you. I deserve to know. Well, I told you there was an ending. It all ended one day in that house. What happened? Didn't I say I turned left when I should have turned right? I was older and one of the better behaved. Used to walk around that place daydreaming about the life I would give Maggie. We'd be rich, I knew that for sure. Rich like Tiernan, even. People would make up stories about us, we'd be so rich. And they would call me sir like Miriam was calling whoever she had on the phone at that moment. I stopped then, realized where I was. Miriam's office had always been off limits. Still, I risked it instead of taking the stairs that would have been my escape. I pressed my ear to her door and listened as she threatened one of the most powerful men in the country. She talked about records and proof and money and not caring anymore because her parents were dead. Nothing he could do to her, so he might as well do what she said. And what did she say? What were her demands? What do old Kales want? Irrelevant. Your wrong turn. Where did it lead? Jonah. Derek was my brother. You didn't mention. Maggie's our sister. What? Every kid in that orphanage was Tiernan's, biologically his. Every single one. That's where he was keeping us, hidden away. He probably has thousands out there now. Are you saying you burned down the orphanage so no one would know? And to keep something like Maggie and Derek's marriage from happening? Turned out well, didn't it? My God. All my hard work, my sacrifices, same miserable result. Derek didn't survive this fire. Yeah, yeah. But why was he there at all? You told him the truth. I warned him. I couldn't leave him in the dark any longer. Derek, he lost himself completely, became unreachable. It wasn't you who burned Tiernan alive, was it? You tried to stop Derek, but you were too late. I set the fire. Derek was only trying to stop me. He saved my life. I've done it before. I did it again. Enough, Jonah. I set the fire. Derek was only trying to stop me. He saved my life. I've done it before. I did it again. Enough. I'm just practicing, Roger. Jonah, please. The truth is ours. It belongs to us and no one else. If you ever considered me a friend, you won't speak a word of it. It's not me you need to protect, but Maggie and her child. This doesn't have to be anything at all. Just a scary story like the ones we used to tell. Talk to me, Roger. Calm a desperate man's heart. You understand what will follow. Yes, and I welcome it.